Hey, Car Talk fans, I have a favor to ask of you. We all know that cars need regular maintenance, right? You know, an oil change every 7,500 miles, tire rotation every 5,000, and a transmission rebuild whenever I have a tuition payment due for one of my kids at college. Well, look, your favorite public radio station needs regular attention, too. We love that you tell your friends about us and talk about stuff you heard on Morning Edition and Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, but we need you to do a little more than that right now. You know what this is leading up to, right? Yep, your favorite station could use a little cash infusion at the end of the year. So while you try to come up with the perfect gift for your loved ones and your cousin Regina, please take a minute to make a gift to your station, too. It's kind of like a loved one, isn't it? Except without the passive-aggressive routine. It's really easy to make a pledge now. Go online to donate.npr.org/cartalk. That's donate.npr.org/cartalk. We all thank you and wish you and your cousin Regina a happy holiday and a great new year. Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're broadcasting this week from the Employee Review Center here at Car Talk Plaza.
One of my favorite times of year, man.
Oh, mine too.
Yeah.
Well, this being the end of the calendar year, we of course, are charged with giving feedback to our employees.
Yeah.
And as we were working on our evaluations this week, we got some help from, well, I shouldn't mention his, it'd be embarrassing.
Oh, Neil Jackson's name?
Yeah. Anyway, he sent us some suggested phrasing for some of these evaluations, which we were able to put to use, and I guess we'll
I mean, I actually used some of them. I was doing Ken Rogers' evaluation this morning, and I used one of Neil's phrases. Ken works well when under constant supervision and cornered like a rat.
About our beloved production engineer, Jonathan Marston, we wrote, this employee should go far. And the sooner he starts, the better.
I wrote one for Catherine, our assistant producer. Catherine has what I would call delusions of adequacy. Thanks, Neil.
And here's one for Mr. Mayer, our senior web lackey. I would not allow this employee to breathe.
And don't forget Bugsy, our technical advisor. He got, as a technical advisor, Mr. Bugsy sets low personal standards and then consistently fails to meet them. I think that's fair.
It is my favorite. I saved this for Berman, our esteemed producer. This employee is depriving a village somewhere of an idiot.
That's him, all right.
If you have any evaluations to add to these, please feel free to call us. If you have a question about your car, you can also call us at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Victoria in Eugene, Oregon.
Hi, Victoria.
In Eugene.
Yes, beautiful Eugene.
I've never been to Eugene, Oregon. It really is nice.
It is. It's picturesque. It's a little more rain than most people who are not ducks can put up
with. Yeah, how many days a year?
Like 8 months. Okay, so 8 times 30. A lot.
That's a lot. Two-thirds of the year.
But I'm from New York City originally, and I'll tell you, this is a lot more user-friendly because we don't have as much wind.
Oh, so you were already depressed when you moved out there.
That's right.
Yeah. Cool. So what can we do for you?
Well, I'll tell you, I don't yet have a car problem. I'm trying to avoid it with your expert advice.
Oh, great.
I am the mother of 3 students in college, and I myself am returning to college this next month. So, therefore, we're talking about a very low cash flow situation, all right?
Yeah.
You're returning to college yourself.
It's high cash flow all out.
Yeah, that's right. You got it.
Yeah.
So what I'm thinking of is, what kind of cars, one after the other, can I be helping out with around $2,000?
Oh, so you want to buy a fleet of these things?
That's right.
So you're going to buy 4 cars at $2,000 a piece?
Well, I'll tell you, I don't think I'm going to get package price, but, you know, probably one at a time. You got it.
And how far does each of you drive?
Oh, not terribly far. The boys live in California, and sometimes to get to work, you know, they have very long drives. They might have to go to San Francisco, and they live south of Santa Cruz.
So how many of those are there?
We'll start at 1. They can work together.
Oh, they go to school together.
Yes, they do. They even live together.
Oh, so boy one and boy two could have the same car?
That's right.
Then do boy one and boy two look alike?
They do.
Jeez, why are you paying two tuitions?
Exactly. Maybe they can get by with one tuition. One can go to class
ridiculous.
One day.
Of course. Just one of them signs up.
You got it.
Yeah.
And it's half duty for everybody.
Jeez, why didn't I think of that? Well,
and when they finally graduate,
yeah,
they'll each have half a job.
Yeah.
So you're looking for cheap cars that have, obviously, a lot of miles on them because that's what's going to make them cheap.
Right.
And they're going to be reliable and relatively safe.
That, you got it.
Got it. I've got my choice. I've got my hand covering up the name of the car because I'm going to reveal it to my brother. He's going to do the same with his.
Well, I'm not finished asking questions. What about the girl?
Oh, she's wonderful. Anything else? I taught her to drive. What could I say?
And what does she do?
How far is she going to be driving?
I don't know yet because she hasn't really figured on the college.
Well, my recommendation is the same for all of them, and you too.
Okay.
Really?
I wrote down that the kids especially should all have old Volvos.
Oh, well, I don't know if those will pass the smog emissions in California.
Oh,
who
sure.
cares? We can get your phony stickers. Don't worry about that. Go to our website.
Yeah, you can just download it and stick it right on the window.
You have a printer? You have a color printer?
Yeah, we do this all the time. It's one of the services that we do.
No,
you go to cartalk.com and search for fraud.
No, they'll get stickers. Those cars are remarkably clean.
Uh-huh.
And assuming they're running correctly, they'll pass any smog test.
Okay.
You know, but for a couple of $1,000, you can get yourself a pretty decent Volvo.
Okay.
And they're pretty reliable. They're not bad.
Right. Oh, they have a great reputation.
And they're safe.
Yes.
Hey, anyway, what are you going back to college for?
I'm going for my business degree.
Really?
I've been an artist. I have several major careers. But the reality is, if I'm going to finish paying for all of these colleges,
you gotta get a real job.
A business degree, right, and a real job that's going to pump it up. And
see, I see you as a boutique owner.
Really?
Really?
Yeah.
See, I mean,
I see beads in your future. Yeah, I don't know.
Are they
why.
Hanging down
They're hanging
the doorway?
Down. Yeah, exactly.
Baubles and beads.
Well, yeah.
I mean, I have to say that if your background and your love is art, then a business degree is the worst thing you can do. I mean, sure, you might be able to make some money at it, but when you add up the amount of money that you would have made in something that you love versus something that you really don't care about except for the money, then you'll be sorry that you did that. I would reconsider if I were you.
Yeah, I'd consider the boutique.
Oh, I've been in business for myself for many... I've been in construction and I've been in building.
Oh, you've never tried a boutique. Have you ever tried forged masterpieces?
How about
it's a market. It's a
forged
market.
Inspection stickers.
I've been an art dealer. Absolutely. Yeah. No. I just, you know, I figure at this point, actually, I don't want to be in business for myself anymore. There is a lot of stress.
There is indeed. There is indeed. And going to school is nice because you can sleep in class. Victoria, good luck to you. It's been a pleasure.
Reconsider the business degree. It's extraordinarily boring.
Well, I appreciate your heartfelt thoughts, and I always reconsider. I haven't paid up my money yet.
And don't forget, you have to spend all day with people who also have business degrees, and there's no one more boring than that. Think about it.
Yeah. After a month, you'll be ready to gnaw your own leg off. See you later.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-82-2782-55. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
My name's Peter. I'm calling from Ithaca, New York.
Hi, Peter.
Ithaca. There's like a big school up there, right? A
couple of big schools.
What are they, those schools?
One is Ithaca College.
Yeah.
And the other is Cornell University.
Cornell. That's the one I was thinking of.
My brother, he authored the school song, didn't you?
Far above Cayuga's waters, there's
that's
an awful
it.
Smell.
That's it.
It's an old deserted outhouse that they call Cornell. Well, my daughter's in-laws have all gone to Cornell. The entire family has gone to Cornell.
Huh.
Yeah, they never got out. They've been there for like 25, 30 years. So what's up? Are you teaching at one of these great institutions?
Sometimes I teach there. I'm a graduate student at Cornell.
Ah. Graduate student. In what department, may I ask?
I'm in environmental toxicology.
Environmental toxicology.
That's an important field.
Well, good luck to you, Peter.
Thank you.
What kind of a car do you drive? Some gas...
Guzzling, polluting piece of junk.
Well, yes.
You have to go to work at night so no one sees the smoke coming out the back.
Well, I'm calling about my wife's car, and part of that stink above Cayuga's waters is the gasoline, which is just pouring out of her car.
Really?
Yeah.
From which end?
Just underneath the driver's side door.
Really?
Yeah, she have a Ford?
It's a 1984 Honda Civic. It's
Civic.
It's red, but usually can't see the red because it's covered with rust.
Yeah.
And she took it out one day over some rough terrain.
Yeah. How long ago did this happen?
Oh, months.
And she's been driving around with gas dripping
up?
No, I do. Oh, you're
using it. That's why he goes to work at night.
Yeah. She's an ecologist. She won't drive it, but...
And you're majoring in what? Environmental toxicology.
Yeah.
Don't ask.
I'm not going to go there.
No.
Sometimes you need a quart of milk.
Yeah, I understand.
That's true.
Yeah, I mean, it seems clear to me that she hit something that in turn ruptured a gas line.
An old rusty gas line that was probably ready to break anyway, and she just administered the coup de grace, so to speak.
Yeah, because you guys get rotten winters up there in Ithaca.
Yes.
Probably use a lot of salt on the roads, and all those gas lines have corroded away.
Yes.
And it's kind of dangerous, and not to mention toxic.
And I'd like to correct all of that.
You would?
Yes, and I called my wife's brother, who is an ace Honda mechanic.
No kidding.
Yeah, it's convenient.
It is.
And his recommendation was to go in there and find the leak and take a tube cutter and cut around the, the pipe.
Yeah.
You can do that.
And then patch it with a hose.
You can do that, too, as long as you're careful to secure the hose to the underside of the vehicle so that it doesn't scrape on the pavement. And that's a perfectly adequate repair.
Really?
It is, because this vehicle has a mechanical pump, which is run by the engine, and it's just sucking the gas, so there's no high pressure in that line.
So that's why it still runs, even though it's leaking.
That's right. There's very little pressure on this line, and you can have this repair work for the rest of the life of the car.
Assuming, of course, that the rest of that...
A couple of months, right.
Yeah, but you got to make sure that the rest of that line isn't all rusted. But once you find the line, you'll be able to see if it's rusty. I mean, that line should be very, very strong. And if you just take a pair of pliers and squeeze it a little bit, if it crumbles in the pliers, then you got to replace bigger and bigger pieces.
I should admonish you, Peter, that... parallel to this gas line that is leaking are the brake lines.
And they look so much alike.
Well, so don't go crushing or cutting any of those, but it's very possible that in effecting this repair, you cause your brake system to leak too, because everything is delicately held together under there by the rust.
Yeah.
So you should disturb things at your own peril.
Well, the alternative is just to send it off to the junkyard.
Yeah, well, we considered that, but we didn't have the heart to tell you.
Yeah, because you're a grad student and you don't have any money.
But give it a shot.
Okay.
Good luck, Peter.
Okay, thank you very much for your time. See ya.
Bye-bye. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Jenny calling from Helena, Montana.
Helena, that's the capital, you know.
It is.
I think she might know that, yeah.
I just wanted to know that I passed that geography course. What's up, Jenny?
Well, I have kind of a strange problem. I got married a few months ago, and my husband lost some weight since the wedding, and his wedding ring became too big. So when he was driving our Jeep, the ring slipped off and fell into a crevice in front of the instrument panel, and we can't get it out.
Did it fall into the defroster vent thing there?
No, there's actually a pretty wide crevice in front of the instrument panel in the Jeep.
So how much weight did he lose?
Like 15 pounds or so. He went from thin to thinner.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, must be marital bliss that's doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you busting him or what?
he may just disappear someday. You'll wake up and he'll be gone. Jeez, I didn't know he was that happy. The question is how to get the ring back.
Yeah, and the other thing we were thinking of is just going and buying a new ring because it's just a plain band, no diamonds.
Well, you know, I'm on my third wedding ring. First wife, but third ring. And I've had to obviously have to replace two of them. My first ring cost $11. My gold ring. It's a standard gold wedding band.
Yeah.
Subsequent replacements have cost several hundred dollars for the exact same ring.
Well, you put on some weight. I've had three wedding rings too, but I've had.
Can you recycle wedding? I mean,
it's not right. I think you have to get the ring out of there.
We do.
I think so.
Well, I think so. I mean, you don't think it's important enough? You'd just as soon go over to the store, the five and dime, and buy another one.
Well, we just want to do whatever will be least expensive.
The thing is still on warranty.
What the ring?
Yeah.
The car.
Oh, the car.
You should take it in and tell them you have a strange noise coming from the dashboard. It sounds like something jingling in there. No, you should just take it in and have them remove the instrument cluster. And I think when they do that, they'll find the ring.
You think they will?
Yeah, but you have to tell them the ring is there, otherwise they're just going to keep it.
Yeah.
Tell them that they're looking for a wedding ring.
Yeah. Ring what ring?
Okay.
Yeah, but that shouldn't cost too much money.
It won't?
No.
Jenny, between you and us, what'd you pay for the ring?
I think it was about $200.
Yeah, that's what I paid for my last ring.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I mean, if you don't feel that there is any particular significance to the particular ring that you put on his finger and when you said I do and he said I do, then what the heck, just go buy another one.
You think it'll cost that much for him to take the dashboard off?
Well, don't forget, between taking the dashboard off and resizing the ring.
That's true.
Yeah, it might be a wash.
Yeah,
think about this. If you bought another ring and you subsequently discovered the old ring, you'd have a backup ring.
Sure. And you could hope that something in the dashboard breaks someday.
And they find
And
the
there's
ring.
Another reason to take the front of the dashboard off. And you say, and by the way, when you do that, give me the ring that's going to fall.
And you can always use the ring for husband number two. See you, Jenny.
Thank you.
Good luck. And start feeding this guy, will you?
Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, look, it's time to answer last week's puzzler.
Yeah.
Do you happen to remember it?
Remember it? I actually solved it last week.
I didn't ask you if you solved it. I'm asking you if you remember it.
What? I have to do everything around here? I have to solve them? And I have to remember it, too?
All right. Well, anyway, the puzzle was about battery terminals.
It was, huh?
You still don't remember, do you?
No.
I didn't think so. Anyway, I'll have all the details and the answer along with more of your calls in just a minute, so stay tuned.
Bought a Chevy just the other day. Only way to go a Chevrolet. It's just a beater, but I don't care. It gets me here and it gets me there. But last night I drove a couple of blocks. Under the hood I heard some knock, knock, knocks. Some funny noises and then something. Somebody help me push my car. Please someone help me push my car. We don't have to push my car too far. Somebody help me push my car.
And even though the National Mummy Association lobbies for tighter ear wrapping standards whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.
Support for the Car Talk podcast and the following message come from Colette Travel. On their small group explorations tours, you'll go deeper into a destination with an average of 15 travelers. Stay in a Tuscan villa or embark on an African safari. Combined with Colette's industry-leading tour managers, authentic cuisine, and 102 years of guided travel expertise, you can trust that the perfect travel experience is here for you. Visit Colette.com or call 855-212-2045.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Kay Buxbaum in support of the David Gilkey and Zabiula Tamana Memorial Fund, established to strengthen NPR's commitment to training and protecting journalists in high-risk environments.
When Ellicott City, Maryland was hit with a deadly flash flood,
there's incredible amounts of rain in the Ellicott City area.
People thought it couldn't happen again. And then...
Howard County 911, what's the location of your emergency?
It did.
God, this is worse than the last one.
And the reality of climate change pit neighbor against neighbor. Listen now to Embedded from NPR.
Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and, of course, the answer to last week's puzzler. And this was actually a safety puzzler, so you may want to pay attention. Those of you who are out in your driveway working on your own car, this is important. So unlike the stuff that we do during the rest of the show.
Which is just folly roll.
Yeah, this is important.
It's folly roll.
Unimportant stuff. Anyway, Gary Kurtzendorfer from somewhere in California sent this in. Gary, here we go. He says, as a shade tree mechanic, I've read many times that you're supposed to remove the negative terminal of the battery first, and only then can you remove the positive terminal. And, of course, the opposite is true when you're installing a battery. So when you disconnect a battery, the negative is supposed to come off first, then positive. When you reconnect it, it's positive followed by negative, right?
Yeah.
Well, he goes on. He says, look, as an electrical engineer, I scoffed at these instructions because I know as an engineer that if you open a circuit,
doesn't matter where you open it.
It doesn't matter where you open it exactly.
An open circuit is an open circuit.
So I would just undo whatever terminal was handy, and that always worked fine for me.
Yeah.
Well, one day, when I was helping a friend change the battery in his garden tractor, he happened to be an electrician, you know, as it turns out, and knew just as well as I did that it really didn't matter which terminal was removed first. But as we learned the hard way, this isn't true. It does matter which is removed and replaced first. And the question is, define hard way. What happened that changed Gary's mind? Well, the answer is that when you disconnect the positive terminal, if your wrench, you know, use a wrench to disconnect them, which is made out of metal, if your wrench contacts a piece of metal that's connected to the frame, you get a short circuit.
Yes, you do.
Because all the ground circuits are connected to the frame, and the negative terminal of the battery is connected to the frame.
Correct.
So if you should, in disconnecting the positive terminal first, should
if
have
if the other end of the wrench hits metal, it's a short circuit between positive and negative, and bada-bing, bada-bang.
It's tantamount to laying your wrench across the two terminals of the battery.
And if you do that, run like hell.
It's too late to run.
Too late to run. It is too late to run. Actually, this is quite dangerous because the battery can explode.
Well, so the reason that you disconnect the negative first is if in the process of loosening the bolt to remove the negative terminal, if the wrench should contact the frame, it doesn't make any difference because the negative terminal
connected to the frame.
Is already connected to the frame. And that's why when you go to put the battery back in, you reverse the order. You connect the positive first, and then you connect the negative last or second, and you avoid the hard way.
The hard way.
Do we have a winner?
Yeah, the winner is Monica Hartley from Houston, Texas. And for having her answer selected at random from among all the good answers that we got, Monica will win a $26 gift certificate to the Shameless Commerce Division of CarTalk.com, with which he can get a copy of our CD, Once Upon a Car Fire, The Greatest Stories Ever Told.
And even though you won't be able to get it in time for Christmas this year, we want to remind you that it also makes an excellent Valentine's Day gift, right?
Yeah, for someone you want to break up with. Sends the unmistakable message that I didn't care enough to get you a real present.
Anyway, we'll have a brand new puzzler coming up in the third half of the show. I should add, it might be a little controversial, so stick around for that. In the meantime, if you have a question for us, we're at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-2278-255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello, this is Betty from Northern Virginia. How are you?
Hi, Betty.
Northern Virginia.
Yeah, wonderful to hear your voices. I love your show. My husband and I love your show.
And you're from Massachusetts.
And I'm from Maine.
Maine, ah.
Yeah.
So what's on your mind, Betty?
I was calling about my Mazda and the little
Mazda
problem.
What?
626.
Yeah.
And it's going great guns. I love it. It has 201,000 and some miles on it.
Mm.
The question I have for you, which is a curious problem, occasionally it won't start.
Yeah.
I've never worried about this because I have an infallible technique of just jumping out the door, putting one foot on the ground and one hand on the wheel.
And pushing it.
And pushing it in park. And then I will hear a little, sort of a loud click in the front, like, suspension section.
Ooh.
And then it will start, invariably. So I don't worry about it.
You have a standard transmission?
No. Automatic.
Automagic.
Yes.
Yes.
And when it doesn't start, you turn the key and it pretty much does nothing except make a click, maybe.
That's right.
Okay, yep. Got it.
What is it?
Wow.
Well, I think what's going on is the starter motor is partially engaging.
Uh-huh.
The gear is being thrust outward and engaging the flywheel gear, but the motor part of it isn't turning. See, the starter does two things.
Yeah.
It has to send this gear out, and then it has to begin turning that gear. And it's only doing half the job.
Oh.
And then when it gets stuck in that position, which it will do.
Then it's done for.
Then it's done for until you get out and rock the car.
Right.
And by doing that, you get that, you set a little bit of motion into that crankshaft.
Yeah.
And you release the gear so the next attempt works.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you may have a bad spot on the flywheel as well. I mean, that would cause that problem. And eventually, you'll have to, you'll try it. It won't do it. You'll get out and you'll rock it.
Yeah.
You'll try it. It won't work again. You'll get out and you'll rock it. And eventually you'll realize that the most efficient way to get where you're going is to dispense with the trying to start it. Just open the door and push the car with your foot
all the way.
Yeah.
Well, Betty, get ready to put in a flywheel if it ever.
Okay.
Because I think that's what you're going to need. But you might try the starter first.
Try a new starter.
Yeah, that may do the trick.
Okay.
Good luck.
Thank you so much.
See ya.
Bye.
So long, Betty. Hey. Jerk. Do you know what time it is?
Yeah, time to give Berman his annual petrified fruit cake.
No. It's time to play Stump the Chumps. This is the part of the show where we track down a previous caller to see if we were on the ball, on the money,
or if we should be on the lam. So who's our lucky player this week?
Well, the little card here says it's David from Missouri. Do you remember him? Neither do I.
No, I can't even remember what time to show up for the show. I mean, come on.
All right, I'm going to refresh both of our memories from this little note. David called us because he thought his car was trying to kill him.
No, I think they have medication for
that. No, this was different. Every time he put on the fan, he got a terrible cough.
Ah.
He thought he was getting Legionnaire's disease. Ah. We told him there were probably mold spores growing in his air conditioning vents.
One of the things I thought was if I could shoot some disinfectant into this thing, it might do it. Trouble is, I don't know where to put it.
Well, you'd put it in the fresh air scoop, which is right where your windshield wiper blades are.
You might have to do it a few hundred times.
not to mention the health risk associated with inhaling Lysol.
Well, you're not going to be in the car when you do this.
But you will be inhaling that stuff. I'm always questioning messing with nature.
Yeah.
It's like spraying for West Nile virus mosquitoes.
Right.
So we save 7 lives and give 25 million people brain lesions.
See, that's why the quality of our answers is going down. Brain lesions from all that West Nile spraying. I mean, we used to be good at
this. Well, let's find out how we did. David, are you there?
I am.
Before we find out what happened, we need to verify that the answer you're about to give here on Stump the Chumps has not been influenced by our staff, the staff of National Public Radio, or the 2 dozen medical malpractice lawyers that are lining up outside your house as you speak.
Not at all.
Did you take our advice and spray the Lysol?
Well, I took your advice. I went to my friendly Walmart store and to the disinfectant section, and they had an amazing array of this stuff, all at different prices. So I began reading the labels, and they all promised to do the same thing, which is kill 99.9% of the...
And cause brain lesions. And,
they didn't say that.
No,
they don't mention that.
I bought the least expensive one, which I think was the Walmart, in-house great value brand. And clean linen, incidentally, was the bouquet, the flavor of the...
Oh, yes.
Clean linen.
Jeez, they should have something called clean underwear. Just hang up your shorts at night and give them a spray and you'll be all set the next day.
Look at all the money you'd save on soap. Sorry. Yeah, so you did.
Okay, so I sprayed it into that intake port, and then I let the fan run for 10 minutes or so, and it worked. I have not had the problem since. It was like night and day.
Wow.
David, have you noticed that your hearing is getting worse?
my hair didn't fall out, but it's because of my teeth.
Yeah, but you don't. You still understand people, and you haven't. Your memory hasn't gotten bad or anything like that.
So far, and it's been a couple of weeks.
Oh, you're all set, I think.
Gee, that's great. One little 10-second spray did it?
That did it. And yeah, and it cleaned, running the thing for as long as I did, cleaned it out. There was hardly any odor of a clean linen at all.
Well, you know, we're going to have you back in a year or so to see if you're still coherent.
See if I'm still breathing.
Thanks for playing Stump the Chumps. See you later,
okay,
Dave. Bye-bye. Look, if you hear someone you'd like us to have on Stump the Chumps, email us your suggestion from cartalk.com, or you can call right now, and you can stump us right now in all likelihood. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 8-882-782-55. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Lindsay from Arlington in Virginia.
Hi, Lindsay.
Arlington, Virginia. Lindsay, L-I-N-D-S-E-Y?
S-A-Y.
I thought so. Arlington, Virginia. You know, there is an Arlington in almost every state.
No,
in this
don't
country.
Start. What can we do for you, Lindsay?
Well, I'm hoping your advice might save my marriage.
Yeah, we've saved many a marriage, I'll
and
tell you that.
And we've wrecked a few, too.
What's the problem?
I have a 1981 Chevy Malibu that my husband drove from North Carolina to Arlington.
Boy, that's a home wrecker right there, that Malibu.
Oh, leave my Malibu.
Come on.
I'll wait till I hear all the evidence. Go ahead.
Well, I smelled him arrive before I saw him.
Oh.
There was smoke coming out from under the bonnet, and it just smelled frightful.
Yes.
And I said to him, when did this start? And he said, well, 5 miles from when I left home.
Ooh, this is a home wrecker. I can see this story evolving.
And I'm guessing that he drove 300 miles at speeds in excess of 55 miles an hour with this smoke and this smell pouring out.
Okay.
What a insensitive brute.
Well, he said it was dark.
Dark. So he couldn't smell anything.
Right.
And he had a pizza on the seat next to him.
It was dark and I couldn't smell anything, hon.
Well, he blames the car being old.
Well, it is. I mean, the smoke, that you perhaps ascertained that the smoke was coming from a leaky valve cover gasket. Is that true?
Gosh, no. I didn't think of that.
Did we discover what it was that was smoking?
He drove it in second gear all the way.
Oh, really?
Oh, my God.
The indicator thing that shows you where your gear shift is.
Yes.
Yeah. The light doesn't work.
Well, yeah, it's dark.
It was dark.
It was a little tricky, and it was the other side between the D and the 2.
Yeah.
And really, it should be between the D and the N.
Yes.
Didn't he notice that he was stopping for gas a lot?
Well, he said it stopped smoking when he stopped the car, which, you know, you would think would tell him something, but it didn't.
Yeah. So, I mean, your position on this is that he is a cold, insensitive brute, and if he had any concern for his lovely wife, he would have at least stopped and found out what was wrong with her car before wrecking it. That's your position. Am I interpreting this correctly?
Well, we wonder if there's some ulterior motive that he was, in fact, trying to wreck my car because he hates it, because it's not terribly cool, you see.
Well, what's his side of the story?
Is he available?
No, he's not.
What's his name?
Bill.
Bill.
So you have not yet determined what was smoking, is that right?
Well, I'm just assuming that, no, I have no idea what has happened. All I can say is that it's running fine now, if you put it in the right...
Well, you don't realize, Lindsay, that he did you a great service.
No.
He blew out all the carbon that was building up
carbon,
on these...
my foot.
On these pistons and cylinder and valves, and you probably don't ever drive the car very hard. You just bop around town with it, an occasional road trip, but you don't take it on long excursions. Is that true?
Well, so might be, yeah.
Knowing that, I mean, he subconsciously put it in second gear.
Yeah.
So he said, I'm going to just clean this thing right. It runs great now, doesn't it?
Yeah.
No, the smell is gone?
Yeah.
And you haven't had to replace any fluids?
No.
I would certainly take a look in the radiator someday. Like today.
No, I put the coolant and all that stuff in.
Ah, was it low?
Well, it was a little low.
Just a little low.
Now, I suspect the smoke came from the fact that the engine was indeed hot. The valve covers are probably leaking a bit, and some of that smoke was coming from the fact that oil was dripping onto the hot exhaust manifolds. And the reason you smelled it was that he had driven the car on the highway, and you don't typically drive it on the highway. You never get it quite as hot as he does. Plus, you don't drive it at 80 in second gear.
You chaps are just making excuses. You're sticking together.
Lindsay, stop it! What is the philosophical part of this question?
What I want to know is first of all, do I kill him? Has he killed my car?
That's not philosophical. That's a legal issue. Should you kill him?
That's moral. That's a moral issue.
Moral issue, even.
Secondly, do I stupidly take it to a dealer or a car repair guy, and they're going to say to me, "Hey, lady, you need a new transmission or something."
Well, they may. But
no, you don't. You don't. You just told us it runs great.
Oh, there you go.
I would not pay attention to anything that we say. I would let the car tell you what to do. If it runs well, drive it. Take it in for your next scheduled maintenance, whenever that may be. And don't worry about anything.
She laughed at the word scheduled. You're a good sport, Lindsay. No, I can see that your marriage is not in trouble because you probably gave him a kiss on the cheek and said, "Hun, Bill, my pal, I know that you did this on purpose. Don't do it again or you're dead meat."
Sort of like that, but yeah. Not quite.
Well, that's what you get for letting him drive your car. What does he drive, anyway?
Oh, a BMW.
Oh,
sure.
Probably driving at 90.
He was probably driving at 90.
He probably was 90.
He probably fried the engine.
Yeah, he must have cooked it, yeah. Should we tell her?
Don't tell her.
All right. No. It's been a pleasure talking to you, Lindsay.
Thank you very much.
I don't know if you heard any of that. See you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, Tommy, look, we've made it through another half of the show without incident or lawsuit.
Yeah, that bear trap you clamped on my leg is really helping me stay focused.
Good. We'll be back with this week's brand new puzzler in just a minute.
You see it on the TV all the time, how you never ought to drink and drive. You might get wrapped around a tree, you might never make it home alive. Not staying in love means steering right, not going down the road impaired. In the morning light or the middle of the night, booze will break up this thing we've shared. You better quit it, you better do what I say.
And even though Ebenezer Scrooge mumbles, "Someone needs a little attitude adjustment," whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from the American Jewish World Service, working together for more than 30 years to build a more just and equitable world. Learn more at ajws.org.
Hey, it's me again. Remember that as the year draws to a close, your station is hoping and waiting for your pledge. In fact, the development director has been pacing so much, we're concerned he's going to wear through the floor and end up in the used Cabbage Patch doll store downstairs. Well, at least it'll be a soft landing. Your gift now at the end of the year will really help your station. It'll help them keep the news, music, interviews, and great companionship coming through the next year. In this season of appreciation, take a minute to go online and donate. Go to donate.npr.org/cartalk. That's donate.npr.org/cartalk. Ha! We're back. You're
Don't
listening
scare
to
me like that.
You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and the new puzzler.
Yeah.
And the inspiration for this was sent in by a fellow named Jerry Olhaver. And, of course, I had...
inspiration, which means you've done significant obfuscation.
A little obfuscation, declarification, and, you know, I mean, just...
I put
my own personal touches on it.
Just go.
Yeah. All right. The scene is some miles out on Cape Cod. The time frame is late summer of 54, a day after a hurricane had altered the landscape.
Mm.
The hero of our puzzler is the owner of a Morris Minor. Remember the Morris Minor? Was kind of a,
certainly
a,
do.
You know, great-grandfather of the modern Mini.
Mm.
Anyway, his problem came with the tidal surge that the storm had caused on parts of the peninsula. Cape Cod is a peninsula. Yachts and working boats had been swept miles from the marinas and actually left in fields. Only National Guard trucks and jeeps and a big mainland wreckers and a few rubbernecking cars were moving on the roads, but otherwise everything else was done for.
I remember this hurricane.
Yes, I remember it well myself. Every other set of wheels still on the roads looked drowned, wouldn't start, wouldn't run, waiting for a tow truck and, of course, an uncertain future. You never know what's going to happen when your car gets drowned.
Yeah.
Enter our hero, pedaling his bicycle. He spots his Morris Minor looking as drowned as all the rest, but at least the four tires are on the, you know, are on the pavement.
Oh.
He tries to start the engine unsuccessfully. It cranks, but it won't fire up. And he opens the hood and removes the spark plugs, and they're soaked with gasoline. And he realizes why they're soaked, because when he takes the distributor cap off, it's full of water. And he realizes that he's done for. Yet, in less than 10 minutes, okay, unaided and using only what he had on his bicycle and in the trunk of the car, he begins a successful drive across the peninsula.
Wow.
How did he do it?
Call a cab.
He flagged down one of those tow trucks. No. How did he begin and complete his drive? Even though his ignition was soaked, the plugs were soaking wet, and he had just a handful of little tools and a Morris Minor. I mean, he didn't have much going for him here. But his wheels were on the ground, and he had a plan. And how did he execute it? Now, if you think you know the answer, write it on a postcard or in the back of a $26 bill and send it to Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our Fair City.
Matt 02238, or you can email your answer to us from cartalk.com. But if you'd like to call us right now with a question about your car or maybe even an answer or anything, we don't care. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Anne from Glastonbury, Connecticut calling.
Hi.
Anne from Glastonbury.
Yes.
What's going on, Anne?
I need your help on a little dispute I'm having with my boyfriend on my car.
Do you have an E at the end of your name?
No E. Middle initial E, though.
Anne E.
Yeah.
Okay. Go ahead, Anne.
I have a 2000 Passat wagon.
Okay.
And on the passenger side, kind of the trim molding that runs along the middle of the door is coming loose on the rear door. So when I open the door, it's getting caught on the front door, and it's starting to kink back a little.
Oh, yeah. This is that piece on the outside of the door.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
His suggestion is just...
Rip it off.
No.
Darn.
Super glue or epoxy it back on, and I want to take it to a body shop and have it replaced because I'm afraid if I'm going 70 miles an hour down 91 in Hartford that it's going to fly off and hit somebody on the highway.
It could, but they'd be behind you.
But they could get my license.
That's the civic-minded thing to do. And
sure.
Did you look? This piece is obviously sprung away from the door.
Yes.
Is this attached with clips or is it attached with an adhesive?
Adhesive. They told me. I actually went to an auto body shop and got actually two quotes. I went to two different places.
And how much did they want to replace this 15-cent piece of trim?
One place was $102, and the other place was $132.
Sounds about right.
But also the front door is starting to come unglued a little bit, so they said that they could just glue that, but they want to take the back one off and replace it completely.
Yeah, because it needs to be, because once it gets bent out of shape, you're not going to be able to glue it back on unless you could pull up near a tree and wedge a 2x4. You know, with the new glue on it, you got to have some way of clamping it.
Well, I want to keep this car looking as good as long as possible because I don't have that many miles on it.
Well, first of all, it's unlikely that even if that trim did come off, it's unlikely that it's going to damage anyone else's car or cause personal injury to anyone. Usually, those things wind up on the road and 9 million cars drive over them and they disappear. Who knows what happens to them?
I mean, I would take your boyfriend's advice.
Oh,
and
no.
Because it's something that you can see whether it's going to stay.
Okay. So try that first.
You want some Gorilla Glue.
Gorilla Glue, okay.
I don't know about Gorilla
Glue. I'm not sure about Gorilla Glue. Well,
I don't know about glue. You want something called weather strip adhesive, or, you know, it's a rubber cement kind of thing.
Okay.
Which I think, if I'm not mistaken, the piece that goes on, you know, has the adhesive built right into it, and you peel off the backing and you stick it on. you know. But you could try. You might want to try another body shop.
Yeah.
See if you can get someone to do it for $32.
Get a third quote?
Yeah, third quote. Tell them you don't want to replace the thing. You think it's wasteful.
But when I forgot about it one time when I opened up the door, it kinked it back like maybe 2 inches back, so it was, you know.
Oh, it's ugly.
I
can see that the aesthetic here is the issue.
Yeah.
Yes, for me it is.
Yeah, because I know that your boyfriend's idea would work. Especially if you parked next to a tree and wedged a 2x4 in there.
No,
and
you could actually, if you opened the door.
Yes.
And you had a nice big set of clamps.
You might be able to.
You might be able to actually clamp it.
You might have to take the door off.
But it's not on, like, the
end of the door. It's on the front side of
the
door. It's on the front side of the door.
Yeah.
You ain't going to clamp that because I don't think you can get a clamp over it.
Okay.
It's not easy. Alternatively.
Yeah.
You could park a car with the bumper pushing on it.
Alternatively,
there are ways to do this.
Yeah, I don't think I'd give up on it so easily, but I can tell that the little kink in it is going to bother you.
It is.
It does.
Yeah, you need to fix it.
You're going
to
have it replaced.
$102. Who? First of all, did you do it or did your boyfriend do it?
No, I did it.
Is there any way you could blame your boyfriend for it?
I don't think so, because he usually never drives the car.
Yeah, well, you should let him drive more. You can blame all kinds of stuff on him. Well, good luck, Ann, but I think you don't have much choice but to pay to get it done.
Okay.
See you later.
Thanks, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
8-8, only all of our problems.
That's
why it's
cost $100.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's too bad. Yeah, I try to straighten it. 888-CAR-TALK, that's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, guys. This is Bill Bailey calling you from beautiful Branson, Missouri.
Bill Bailey, won't you please come home?
What's your address? Everybody says that, but they never tell me where they live.
That's because no one likes you.
Okay. Well, if you have a name like Bill Bailey, you always have to use your last name, don't you? You can't just tell people your name is Bill.
Yeah.
Bill Bailey is good. Anyway, what's going on, Bill Bailey?
Won't you come home,
well, you
Bill
know,
Bailey?
I've been listening to you guys for 10 years, and I never had a good reason to call, but my luck has run out. I'm standing on the shore of Table Rock Lake in my usual parking spot, looking down at the marina where I keep my houseboat. I have a 97 Chevy Tahoe four-wheel drive, but it's not in the parking spot. It's in the lake looking up at me.
Oh, wow.
How'd you do this?
Well, the front end's out. The back end is in. There is a half-inch cable that runs diagonally to hold the dock in place that has cut through the back tailgate and is holding it there. And that's the only thing keeping it from becoming a fish habitat.
So it rolled back into the lake?
Correct.
And pray tell, what were you doing while this was happening? Were you in it?
No, I was not in it. I was in my boat trying to drink hot chocolate when the dock jerked and poured it down my shirt.
Oh.
So your boat is... Boy, what an unlucky guy you are.
Man.
But what pulled it into the lake?
Didn't put the brake on.
Yes, I did, but here's the other part of the story. Last night, I'm driving out here to the lake, cruising down the highway, probably 55, 60 miles an hour, and all of a sudden, beneath my feet, I hear what sounds like a jet turbine, high-pitched like a jet is taking off under me, also with the sound of maybe a blender full of nuts and bolts. And it's not on stir or puree. It's like on liquefy. Yeah. I'm pulled over real quick into a parking lot of a grocery store, and immediately when I stopped, the noise stopped.
Yeah.
I put it in reverse, and it sounded like the mixer full of nuts and bolts.
Even before you started moving?
Right. I put it in drive. It kicks in. It sounds okay. But if I start to move an inch even, the jet turbine kicks in. And so I drove 16 miles like that. And it was so loud that cars on both sides of the highway were pulling off. They thought I was an ambulance.
Jeez.
Oh, man, Bill, you... How many miles on this thing?
110.
Not enough.
Well, it's plenty now. You may never get to 111.
See, I backed it in. I knew I didn't have reverse, so I was very thoughtful before I parked it because I thought I'd probably going to have to tow it out or something anyway. I pulled it up an incline, and I coasted down to my usual parking spot.
Oh, yeah, incline.
Slammed that brake on, and I know when it hit now. I came in, and I was freezing. I was cold and all shook up. And so
you opened up a package of Swiss Miss.
Yeah.
And you put up the water in the kettle.
Yeah.
And you were just settling in, take that first sip, and boom.
Right.
What was your first thought when you knew it was your truck?
My question exactly. What did you say or think when you looked out and saw your truck hanging there by a thread, so to speak?
I don't think you can say that on public radio.
I don't think so either.
But they could hear me across the lake, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, jeez.
So the only thing that's holding it is this cable, and it's stretched like a banjo string.
Oh, I'd cut the cable.
I guess I don't need to know what's wrong with it. Should I cut the cable or not?
Well, how much insurance do you have?
I've got full coverage, I guess.
Cut the cable.
Well, here's an interest. Well, obviously,
well,
this is an ethical, moral, legal, and economic conundrum here.
It certainly is.
And obviously.
And they're all conflicting.
Well, I've only had one fisherman see me. Now, I'll keep him quiet if you keep your listeners quiet.
Well, this is the problem. Right. If you call your insurance company and they get wind of this conversation between us, they're going to know that it was your negligence.
No, certainly wasn't his negligence.
It was.
He applied the parking brake. He said it. He applied the parking brake.
But he also knew he didn't have park. Because what happened, the noise is coming from the fact that the transmission chewed itself up and in the process chewed up the parking pole. So the thing that locks the drive shaft was out of commission.
Yeah.
And you feel that's what it is?
Oh yeah. The transmission just ate itself up.
It's going to cost you, I'm going to guess, somewhere between $1,000 and $2,000 to fix this.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's after you get it out of the water. If it gets out
Bill,
of the water.
If you're really lucky, when they're pulling it out, their cable breaks and it goes right in.
How deep is this lake?
Where I'm at, it probably goes out to 90 feet.
That'll be plenty.
Ooh, that's good. I mean, really?
So you haven't called anyone yet?
No, uh-uh.
Well,
I would call the insurance company and throw yourself at their mercy because I have a feeling they're going to try to weasel out of this.
All right.
Not that insurance companies ever try to do that, but I think this would be an opportunity for them to do some weaseling if they can.
All right.
Good luck, Bill
Bailey. This will not be their average claim.
No.
This won't be their average
claim. They'll remember you for a long time. The Bill Bailey case. From Missouri, wasn't he? Yes, he was.
Yeah, you're going to need George Bailey to help you out on this I think.
They must have... training tapes for the new people, the adjusters. And I'm sure that they're going to have a tape based on this little incident.
Yeah, the case will be called Check Out This Dope.
Well, hey, Bill, I wish you the very best. This is not a good way to wake up.
No, but the best news is that you weren't in it when it happened.
Yeah, right. Good for you. And it's only a truck.
And it could have crashed into your houseboat.
Right.
Yeah, you're a very lucky guy. You're a very lucky guy.
Well, I guess my luck has changed after all.
Sure it has.
It's a wonderful life, Bill Bailey.
Yeah.
See you later.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks for calling.
Some guys have all the luck.
He sounded pretty
chipper.
He's
not too broken up about it.
He's not broken up about it. That's good.
Well, you know why?
It's only a car.
Because he lives in a houseboat.
He does. You could tell right away.
He's got the right perspective on life.
Yeah. You could tell right away that he wasn't a guy that was going to sweat the small stuff.
Yeah. Well, it's happened again. You've blown off another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are David the Calves of Belleville Green and Catherine Frau Blucher Fenelosa. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mayor, assisted by Connie Bridgeford. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. Our theme music is by David Dog Grisman and our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor.
Okay, wait, I'm going to hardly wait.
Just back from the Yukon, chiffon, wonton, bonbon, udon, saffron, Szechuan, fried prawn, and filet mignon, munch on is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Marge Genovera. Our customer care representative is Haywood Jabuzoff. Our personal makeup artist is Bud Tugley. Our loss prevention associate is Natasha the Merchandise. Our divorce attorney is Carmine Not Yours. Our director of genealogical research is Manny Cousins. Our director of holiday visits to the in-laws is Don Juan Go. Our Car Talk used car salesperson is Sasha Deal. Our Russian chauffeur is Pikoff and Dropoff. The banker at Car Talk Plaza Poker Games is Nikolai Putin. And our seat cushion tester is Mike Easter. our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe, is Hugh Lewis. Dewey, known to the used book peddlers with phony police IDs in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. Whatever you do, don't drive like my brother.
Whatever you do, don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1951. Fill out your family alienating holiday playlist with other Car Talk episodes and check out our clothing and best of collections all over at cartalk.com. This week featuring a great way to ring out the old and ring in the new.
Did NPR finally cancel us?
No, not yet. I'm talking to people who have a used vehicle that they no longer need.
Ring out the old car.
Right. If you donate a used car before the end of the year, not only will the proceeds benefit your favorite radio station, but you'll also get a tax deduction for this year.
Yeah, offset some of those illegal gambling receipts. Oops, did I say that with my outside voice?
Get all the details of the Car Talk vehicle donation program anytime at our website, cartalk.com.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though Rip Van Winkle slaps the snooze button whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR.